Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
125.
You kept it beautiful, Shama.
So good. We're such a good team. Such a good team. In all humility. All right. We are on the most optimistic, joyous, friendly, fun chapter.
If you don't know why she's being sarcastic, just check out the past episode. Just go do it now.
We're on chapter 16, chapter 16, text number 17. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say the recap is basically Krishna really gave us a really good insight into the demonic mindset, how demonic people think, what demonic tendencies are, and just kind of like how a person with these qualities and this nature moves around the world, the material world. So that was really fascinating.
Yeah.
We learned a lot.
They're attached to sense enjoyment. They have a lot of desires. They are greedy. They want to, they're absorbed in insatiable lust and false prestige and pride.
Right.
Lots of anger. They think there is no God. And they try to destroy the world.
That's
basically.
Basically. And we talked a little bit about how it's a bit of a spectrum in the sense that, you know, there's really, really a lot of us can identify with one or two or whatever
or parts 12.
of these natures, right? At times, maybe at certain times in your life, you felt like, oh, I just really want to, you know, have all of these things, maybe because I didn't have them in my childhood and I really want to have all these material possessions, whatever, right? And maybe that's just not a great quality to have, but it doesn't mean that you are demoniac.
Yeah.
Demoniac.
I said it wrong again.
It's so cute when you say it. Yeah. It's all right.
It's so cute.
Demoniac.
Anyways.
It's all right. Demonic.
Demonic.
Yeah, just say demonic. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Demonic.
You know, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say the sliding scale. So for some of these texts, it almost sounds like a regular person. And then for some of them, it does sound like, oh, wow, that's a whole other level. So it's really fascinating to see, you know, from a bit of demonic to a lot of demonic. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to keep exploring that.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, even on our worst days, we can recognize some of these qualities within ourselves. And so the key is to be self-aware and work on these qualities and try to make them more divine as much as possible throughout our life. That is a good life goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I read you one portion that I just found? Because, you know, we're applying this to us, but we have to remember this is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. So when Krishna's speaking, Arjuna's thinking, how does this apply to me? And I just found one little nice part that almost puts us in Arjuna's perspective of how he's taking Krishna's whole analysis of divine and demonic natures, what it means for Arjuna. I think this was from Chaitanya Charan or anyway, a great speaker, but he basically said, for Arjuna, whenever Krishna's making any point, he's thinking, okay, how does this apply to me? So when Krishna mentions anger as one of the defining qualities of ungodly nature, Arjuna immediately worries, oh gosh, am I fighting a war? And people usually fight because of anger. Do I have ungodly nature? And then in the next text, Krishna quickly senses Arjuna's apprehension and assures him, you are born with a godly nature. So I think that's interesting to hear. Again, this is a conversation. Like, we're reading this, like, how does this apply to us? But anyway, and then later when Krishna describes how ungodly people act out of lust, anger, and greed, Arjuna starts picturing those actions in a living person. And for him, that's Duryodhan. Mm-hmm. And that Kuru prince has been angry right from birth. From birth, he was like, why was I not born the undisputed sole heir of the Kuru kingdom? You know? Right. And then next step, why did I have a blind father who couldn't inherit the kingdom? Why was I not born before Yudhisthira? So driven by the greed for the kingdom, Duryodhan persecuted the Pandavas from the very beginning, repeatedly pushing them all the way into exile. And then maddened by Duryodhan's lust, he tried to publicly disrobe Draupadi, his own sister-in-law and the lady of his royal family, who they were trying to protect her honor. So Arjuna was thinking in this way of examples of how Duryodhan displayed the qualities we've been talking about of lust, anger, and greed, and he didn't try to curb them and led to this ultimate perishing of his whole line in this war and all of those things.
Well said. That's a good context. Because sometimes we're just reading these and I was like, okay, don't be like this, don't be like this.
Yeah.
But like this gives a lot, that gave a lot of context to why we're here in the first place.
Yeah. It helps us put us back into the story.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a whole conversation. So
yeah,
you get lost in it sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah, let's all do right. it.
The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right. Chapter 16, text number 17, Priyadarshini.
Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations.
Interesting. Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to, just the first thought that I had was in a previous text or purport, we read like, oh, they even give in charity, but like just, they just kind of do these things without even really understanding or without a finality of doing it, right?
Yeah, kind of just for show. Prabhupada even says that here in the purport again, sometimes such demons, and you made a good point, Priya, offline, you were saying, notice that he's here saying demons and not demonic qualities. So here we're talking about straight up like
demons.
Like people,
they possess all of the demonic qualities.
And they take up, they might take up the role of a preacher or, and mislead people and even become known as religious reformers or even incarnations of God. That's why we have to be very careful in spiritual communities when you observe like, is this person who's leading this whole movement really pure or not? And we talked about a lot of like, I don't know, fake leaders in different yoga societies versus the characteristics of someone like Prabhupada, who's just so pure.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is that Prabhupada always used to say that Kali Yuga, the age that we're in now, is riddled with two things, fighting and hypocrisy. And I think this verse is a lot about hypocrisy and like showing one face to one person and then doing the complete opposite and like just doing sacrifices and rituals in name only without actually absorbing and intentionally doing things. And I think that is so, it's just a hypocritical thing. And we see this all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is impudent? Like I've heard it, I sort of get it, but I don't know how to explain it. Like I'm trying to understand the first part of that text, self-complacent and always impudent.
Impudent meaning not showing due respect for another person.
Right.
Not, say it again?
Not showing due respect for another person.
Okay. Okay, so not, so just kind of
just disrespectful, essentially.
Hoity-toity disrespectful.
Yeah. Snotty or inappropriate.
Deluded by wealth.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Wow, and false prestige. That's another interesting one, right? Like, just like, I am wealthy. I am this. I am that. All of this falls in the sense that, like, it's all temporary. It's not really real, you know. Wow, fascinating.
Prabhupada also emphasizes about the importance of following rules and regulations, because someone might just put on a dress of a renounced order of life and engage in a ton of nonsense. But he says, and they, you know, they pave their own path. They don't really care for any rules and regulations, but those are important in spiritual paths to ground us.
Yeah. I think he's kind of saying like, look, these are, Krishna's like, these are the demonic qualities and what demons are like. And then Prabhupada's like, so therefore make sure you follow the rules. Cause like, you know, just trying to give the example.
Because back to someone like Duryodhana, an ungodly person, he rejected scriptures. He kind of did his own thing. He wasn't able to curb his own vices and be godly. And that's why, you know, it's, if you're not able to curb your own vices and it leads you to such an extent, like someone like Duryodhana, their vices needed to be curbed for them by the Pandavas. Otherwise, it leads the door open for just society.
Degradation.
Exactly. Degradation. And that's why punishing people like Duryodhana was the primary duty of Kshatriyas like Arjuna.
Yeah. Wow. Super cool. So do you guys have anything else for text 17?
I think one thing is Prabhupada says sometimes such demons take up the role of a preacher, mislead the people, and become known as religious performers or as incarnations of God. Mm-hmm. They make a show of performing sacrifices, or yeah. they worship demigods, or they manufacture their own God. And I feel like there's so much of this that happens in society now.
And I think if I didn't have the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, I might be like, well, how would I know if he's God or not? Like, I wouldn't yeah. have a parameter or knowledge. And if the person is showing great power in some way or another, I would be like, huh, like, might not just know how to dissect or like understand the reality of life. Mm, yeah. So having this knowledge really helps us, because we can see like, okay, well, you say you are God. Is that correct? Tell me more. Like yeah. I have a book that tells me what God is like, and I can kind of, you know, verify all of these things. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just really helpful to have this knowledge yeah. when we encounter this world.
Totally. Yeah. All right. Text 18.
Shamasangita.
All right. Krishna is saying, bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that like a reminder of like, you're envious of someone who is within you also, and a yeah. part of you.
So
you
silly.
So silly.
So silly.
Like Prabhupada yeah. says that he doesn't know that in this present life, it's just a preparation for the next. So not knowing this, these demonic people, they're envious of someone in their own heart. They're envious of their own self and of others. And they don't care for supreme control of the personality of Godhead, because they don't have any knowledge. They just think they're independent and powerful in every action.
Mm. Yeah. He also says, Prabhupada also says that these people commit violence on other bodies and on their own, right? Just like we have this idea of like our bodies are temple, Krishna's in our heart, like all of these wonderful things for which we try to treat everyone, not yeah. just ourselves, right? Because if my body's a temple and Krishna's in my heart, well, your body's a temple and Krishna's in your heart too. And so the respect and all of that isn't there, right? They're seeing everything for their enjoyment
totally.
And their will.
You know, all of these like false ego, strength, pride, lust, anger, different things that even exist within us. We might not be a demon, but like we said earlier, we might have demonic qualities. So I've heard it said before that we can treat our different desires like different people who want to meet us. So some desires might be too strong for us to just flat out say no, but a good way to practice managing desires is like, okay, can this wait for a later time? Or you start trying to navigate it, but the thinking of it is just our desires are different people who want to come meet us. They are not us, but putting a little space. So to someone who really wants to meet you, you might say, okay, can we do it later? Not yet. Can we limit the time? Like,
ooh, like delaying. Like me delaying the appointment, right?
Let's, exactly.
Let's say you are feeling angry and it's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll just need to take a breath. I will delay this meeting with Mr. Anger. You know, I'm thinking of like, what's that movie with all the emotions?
Is it Soul?
No. Inside Out.
Inside Out. Yes, yeah. Right? So like taking a breath if you're feeling in an agitated place right. and you're like, I'm going to delay my appointment with Mr. Anger and just like create some gap between stimulus and response.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just delaying with false ego, delaying with pride, putting it off for later. And a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but I usually forget about those emotions if I delay yeah. them, because I have a memory of a goldfish. But
yeah. I can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Prabhupada just keeps talking about this idea of this demonic person. They think themselves independent, powerful in every action. They think that no one can equal their strength, power, or wealth, that they can act in any way and no one can stop them. Mm. And honestly, you see this in real life still, right? I mean, yeah. I'm sure there's other examples. I mean, we're just not exposed to everything all the time. But I think in politicians, they think they can get away with anything.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
you know, certain people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fascinating, like the delusion that you have to think that no one is equal to me. I am the greatest. Yeah. I can do whatever I want, right? Yeah. And it's not so hard to get to that point if you just don't encourage yourself to have good, like be in the mode of goodness, right? Like if you continue to encourage mode of ignorance and mode of passion, like it's easy for these bad qualities to slip in.
Yeah.
But what a utopia we would live in if everyone in the world practiced Krishna consciousness and recognized that God was in their own hearts and also in the hearts of others. And like, that would just be such a utopian society.
Oh yeah.
You know,
a beautiful society for sure. Yeah. I always dreamed about that as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in a weird kid like way. I'd be like, imagine if all the restaurants were devotee restaurants and everyone was a devotee and everything we did was just like about Krishna and like everything, you know, like that magical Goloka Vrindavan in this material
it's
world.
Because she was in the heavenly planets before. And like she was remembering those times.
What is demonic?
I can't even say it. I can't even pronounce demoniac. It's all crazy. Right. But you as a kid came from this place of like such like pureness and optimism and you know, that would be a great society.
A great utopia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, text 19, shall we?
Yes. Mm.
Shamali.
I think so. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence into various demonic species of life.
That makes sense.
Oof. So yeah, Prabhupada says this verse is indicating that the placing of a particular individual soul in a particular body, well, we know it's the prerogative of the supreme will. And it's funny because even if a demonic person might not accept the Supreme Lord as the Supreme, he's still going to, in his next birth, be dependent upon the will of God. So basically, whether you accept it or not, it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. So basically he's saying that anyone who, I mean, these demonic peoples who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men. So we're talking about like demons, okay?
Yeah.
They are basically thrown into a cycle of just birth and death, birth and death, birth and death in these lower planets.
Yeah, they can get there, yeah.
But they're still stuck in this material existence because of the... how low they are and how low they've degraded themselves.
Right, because they're not doing anything in life to
upgrade.
They're just, they keep in that cycle. And I didn't know this part, but I highlighted the sentence. Prabhupada says, as for the demonic, it is clearly stated here that they are perpetually put into the wombs of demons and thus they continue to be envious, the lowest of mankind. So I thought that was interesting. Like our soul attracts the parents that we need to make us grow. And it's kind of like birds of a feather flock together. So demons.
Like demon mommies?
Like, yeah.
Like
what is demon mommy?
Demons get demon mommies.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was a show and I was like, I'm unaware.
Like season one of demon mommies.
Like dance moms.
No, that's why nature and nurture is such an interesting thing because you might have a nature of having some demonic qualities. And then if you have a demonic parent,
mommy,
then if you have a demon mommy or daddy, then you also the nurture that you're receiving is of the same.
Totally.
So then you're just receiving more enviousness is good.
Right.
Mischievousness is good. You know, things, material things are good. Like if that's what you're receiving on top of your already nature. Poof.
And that's also true. It's not just the underworld. Like I know people who have some bits of demon mommies and demon daddies and like they also are born into that place where like they do bad things and they don't get the repercussions like normal kids would.
And then it just, it makes them think that they can get away with anything. It's literally the text we were reading, right?
Yeah.
They think they're more powerful than anyone. They, you know, anything is whatever they want it to be because they're in charge.
Yeah.
And that's the thing though. It's not unfair. You earned that family, that level of nurture because of your past life action. Yeah. So it's all a cycle. You've created that yourself.
It's like all connected.
It's all connected.
Like a network.
Oh, like a network?
Like a network. Demon mommies, demon daddies.
Right. Okay. Well, text 20.
Priya.
Okay. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life.
Nice.
O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac... Dear Lord.
You got it.
Demoniac life. O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. Mm. It's kind of what we were just saying, right?
demon mommies and demon daddies make demon children. And then the cycle keeps going on and on and on. And they can't reach Krishna. And then they get lower and lower and lower.
Yeah.
There's a few thoughts here because Prabhupada in the purport says like, okay, with this text, then it might be argued that God shouldn't be advertised, Prabhupada says, as all merciful if he is not merciful to such demons. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada said in answer to this question in the Vedanta Sutra, we find that first, the Supreme Lord has no hatred towards anybody. But then also even sometimes the asuras or demons are killed by the Supreme Lord. And this killing is even a form of mercy because anyone who is killed by the Supreme Lord becomes instantaneously liberated. It's not like as if they're killed in the battlefield. And he gives the...
Wait, before you jump, that reminded me of what we were talking about how an animal who is killed before their like karmic sentence.
Like their untimely death.
Then they have to come back. But when Krishna does it, you're done. You're done with that time that you were supposed to live in that particular situation.
Right, right. And he just gives some more examples of like in history, many demons like Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, who the Lord appeared in different incarnations just to kill them. That was their mercy. Mm-hmm. But let's say even if
that was his mercy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what did I say?
There.
That was their demonic mercy. You know? That was Krishna's mercy to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Krishna is still all merciful. And Priya, you said something nice about this, that even if you're someone who has a lot of demonic qualities and you're not quite a demon who Krishna's going to come to kill, then Krishna also does send his devotees and things work
to try
in
to
such,
influence.
Yeah. Things work in such intrinsic ways that there might be a very demonic person there and Krishna's devotees and different personalities will appear. And it's up to then that demonic person's free will to be open and receptive or not.
Yeah.
But Krishna will always try.
For sure.
I think Krishna is very fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's fairness. Like we have our deeds and that begets good qualities and bad qualities in our next life. And so it's a very fair God. He doesn't interfere in that. We have the free will to do our own karma.
Yeah. And you know, I read something that a God who pretended we had no shortcomings would be a God who did not take our potential seriously. Kind of like a coach who, I don't know, even the students I teach, if I know a student has so much more potential, when they make mistakes, I'm like, come on, what are you doing? Mm. But versus like, if I knew they were very limited and they make mistakes, I'd be like, that's very good job, you know? So that's why like, he's not saying like, oh, you're perfect, you're just fine. Like, no, he believes we have the potential to reach a higher platform.
Mm. Even if you are demonic.
Even if you are demonic, exactly. Yeah.
No better, do better.
Yeah. All right. Text 21, Shama Sangita.
All right. Krishna says, there are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul.
Mm. So basically, it's a continuation on the previous text in the sense that he said, you know, if you are in this, if you have demon mommy and demon daddy, and you come in a demon already nature, and then that keeps getting fostered and you don't get out of the cycle and that just perpetuates over and over again. You just keep living this over and over again until eventually you degrade so low that you go all the way to hell.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I think this is important for us because these three things show up almost every day, weekly, monthly for all of us too,
right?
Depending on who you are, right? Yeah. Different degrees of these different things. Okay. And I think it's very important to recognize when you're being tested on these three things, lust, anger, and greed.
Sorry. I was just going to say like lust. I want to reiterate, lust means desire for things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Also, right? Like it doesn't just mean
it could be things or people. Yeah.
People. Exactly. It's a bigger term that we're used to in this everyday society nowadays.
Yeah.
Right.
Lust, people, positions, like anything that you are hankering for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, I mean, this is the beginning of demonic life described in this text because, you know, if one tries to satisfy his lust and when he cannot, anger and greed arise. It's a whole downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Prabhupada says, a sane man who does not want to glide down to the species of demonic life must try to give up these three enemies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Lust, anger, and greed.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just repeating it and then giving a really heavy sigh.
Do it again. Do it again.
Lust, anger, and greed.
Oh, darn.
Let's go. Darn. Oh, darn.
Okay. Text 22. Shali.
Okay. The man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attains the supreme destination.
Also makes sense. If you're okay. able to escape and find a bit of self-realization, a bit of understanding that you are the soul, not the body, that, you know, there is a supreme. If you're able to get a little glimpse of that, then you can get out of hell and then work towards the supreme destination.
Rabbi says, the more a person is freed from lust, anger, and greed, the more his existence becomes pure.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And then once he becomes pure, it's kind of like a process. Then he can follow the rules of and regulations. And by following those regulative principles, then he can rise to the platform of spiritual realization. So if one is so fortunate by practice and rising to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then success is guaranteed for him. And last thing, Prabhupada says, by cultivating knowledge of this process, one can be elevated to the highest position of self-realization, and that is perfected in devotional service. So really, we don't have to think of the whole step, this, then this, then this. Just think devotional service, because when you surrender to Krishna, he will grab your hand and take you through everything.
But these three things show up
a lot. The three enemies of human life, Prabhupada says.
In ways in which we don't even expect them sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Less sneaky or greed.
Very sneaky.
Yeah. Every day for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to be super vigilant and super aware.
Self-aware.
When we're, we're lusting for things or people or positions, being angry in traffic or like when someone does something to piss us off, like being very, like super aware of that and greed, even in the smallest forms where it's like, okay, if Krishna doesn't want this for me, I should not be hankering for more than is in my karma, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they show up in like every single day.
Yeah.
And we just got to be hyper vigilant.
Mm-hmm. Hyper vigilant. Yeah.
All right.
Text 23, Priya. We're rolling through these.
Yeah. Krishna's very concise, so it's very clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination.
Mm.
Oof, that's a tough one because I think we all do that all the time too.
Yeah. And we feel it, right? Do we feel happy? Not really. We're not really satisfied. We're kind of like, struggling.
We become ghosts.
Prabhupada says, in other words, a man may theoretically know these things, like not to give in to his lust, greed, and desire. He may theoretically know these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind.
That's harsh.
Yeah. What's even crazier is like there's like this system that Prabhupada lines out in the purport. He says that, but even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all of his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, again, his attempts are spoiled. Right. So I think the most important thing that Prabhupada is saying here is that we really need to engage in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important.
Oof. That's fascinating. I'm like, so then that means that as long as I continue to make garlands, I will be okay. I'm like in my mind calculating all the.
Yeah.
A plus B equals C. Yes.
Yeah. All my faults, somehow I will be able to eradicate them as long as I'm engaged in service.
Yeah.
There's this, Prabhupada talks about this word, kama karata. And he says it's very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that this is forbidden, but he still acts. This is called acting whimsically. And truth be told, I have done this multiple times, right? Like knowingly violating rules. And it always came down to some form of lust after something, actually. And I used to, earlier on in my Krishna consciousness, I would be whimsical.
Yeah.
Because I would follow certain things and not follow the other things. And like,
I like this. I don't like
exactly.
this.
Exactly. I was like, I'm so new to this. So I'm not going to like fully dive in. And it was very whimsical. And I thought that was okay. But I realized that the more whimsical I acted, like the more holes in my relationship with Krishna, you know, the foundation was not rock solid.
For sure. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say something about this line that you had read about a man might theoretically know all these things, but if he doesn't apply them in his own life, then he's to be known as the lowest of mankind. Oof. You know, I can think of so many people, even myself included, at times where don't we know what's the highest way to go? Mm-hmm. But then we just, for whatever we're going through, might just be like, oh, we know it, but I can't apply it at this moment.
Yeah. And 100%. Yeah.
But is that the same as breaking or not follow? Like, what are these rules?
What are we talking about here?
Like, I feel like devotional service. Christian.
This is that. This is like what I'm doing right now. I'm like justifying or trying to, not justify, but like trying to understand what he means exactly, right?
Like, but like, no, like all of the things that he has outlined as like demoniac qualities, like doing the opposite of that, like doing the good qualities, that's the right thing to do.
When I read this sentence, I kind of think of a person who like, because I think Krishna is so compassionate. He knows devotees struggle. Keep going nonetheless, mm-hmm. even if you can't always do it. I think this is the type of person who like, who might read and be like, meh, I don't care. I'm never going to do it. And just goes about their life, their whole lives, just like whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the really important part of this verse is absorption. And like literally like absorbing everything that you know is in the right path, in like the righteous path. It is divine qualities, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can parrot things mm-hmm. and we can repeat things and say, oh, Krishna says this. But if we don't absorb the right qualities and act on them and do the right thing in all of these circumstances, then there's no point to anything.
I 100% agree with what you're saying. And then as a human being, I'm thinking, but is my absorption the right amount of absorption?
How do we know much is the right amount of absorption?
Like, what rules is he speaking about? Am I doing enough? Right? Like that's just my mind. Because I see people that are doing better than I am who maybe from externally, right? Because I can only see the external, seem to be way more engaged, way more, you know, devoted, more, I don't even know, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of these wonderful qualities.
Yeah.
So like, I think you're right. I think at the end of the day, it's just absorb as much as you can, try the best you can, keep moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. But what are these rules?
Oh, but okay, so going back to the very, very, very first verse of chapter 16, Krishna talks this laundry list of good qualities, right? Mm. Now, if we are being super self-aware, are we at 100% with all of those divine qualities?
No.
No. And I think like absorption is getting better and better and better at those good qualities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's definitely where our heart's at. And, you know, for most people listening to this podcast, I would say they fall under the category of not the person that isn't interested at all, but the person that maybe like us knows what's the highest goal, strives for that. And at times we can't apply it. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, I think a nice little a meditation can be, you can talk to Krishna about it. You know, mm-hmm. he's in your
ask
heart
for help.
Yeah. Like I had a friend a long time ago tell me, I want to want it, but I don't. And I think I brought this up in an episode a while ago and we had a whole conversation about like, I was telling her, well, talk to Krishna. She's like, oh, I feel almost like he's dealing with so much. I don't want to, I know the steps. I don't want to go. He's busy. And I don't want to go with my little lame, like I don't want it problems, but it's like, he already knows what the issue is. So talk to him. Cause we're trying to cultivate a relationship here. So whatever you're feeling and going through, it's very unifying with Krishna to bring him in and talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if we quickly just read the first verse again and maybe we can just go through the good qualities again, because we have spent a really long time talking about demonic qualities.
You need some positivity.
Yeah. Okay, but deal. I think like I think this is important for absorption. As much as we can get to 100% of these good qualities, then I think we're on the right path.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Do you want to do one at a time?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness.
Purification of one's existence.
Cultivation of spiritual knowledge.
Charity.
Self-control.
performance of sacrifice,
study of the Vedas,
austerity,
simplicity,
nonviolence,
truthfulness,
freedom from anger,
renunciation,
tranquility,
aversion to fault finding,
compassion for all living entities,
freedom from covetousness,
gentleness,
modesty,
steady determination,
vigor,
forgiveness,
fortitude,
cleanliness,
and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor.
These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So I think absorption of these things, which is a big list, and it will take our entire lifetime to get to 100% in all of these 26 qualities, but I think that is the goal.
Yeah.
You know?
I also think like the next verse also kind of brings back about this whole sense of like following, doing the right things and doing the rules and regulations. And so yes, developing all these qualities, but then also following the rules and regulations, which is just, you know, like you said, a lot of the opposite of what the demons are doing.
And also in addition to that, like following the rules and regulations, doing all the good things, but also remembering that devotional service to the Lord is the most important thing.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. Because when we chant, Krishna helps us. We don't have to focus on like every single little thing individually, because when we chant, we become more mindful, more aware, and then things start falling into place just very like in a flow.
I love it. All right. Guys, are we on the final verse? Of this chapter 16.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
All right.
Who's that girl?
It's me, I think.
Priyadarshini.
Yes. Text 24. One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. I think that's the summary of everything we were just trying to say, right?
Yeah.
Just understanding what is right, what we're supposed to do, and just working our way gradually and being elevated gradually, right?
Yeah.
So Prabhupada kind of this, because this is the last, you know, verse of the chapter, he kind of talks about all the different things that we've been talking about. And he says that understanding Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, engaging in devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. One who is directly engaged in all of these devotional activities that I just mentioned is understood as having studied all Vedic literature. But then, interestingly enough, he says, of course, for the ordinary person who are not in Krishna consciousness, who are not engaged in devotional service, what is to be done and what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the Vedas.
Right.
So it's like, okay, if you're a devotee, you do service, you chant Hare Krishna, you learn about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita. Like these are the ways in which you are acting the right way.
Right.
These are the rules and regulations. If you don't have that in your life, the Vedas are this scripture of how to live life.
Right.
And that's how you should do it. Right. And then he goes on to say, there's so much.
He said, "Do do 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 do." He's so relatable, Prabhupada.
I know.
That I say, "Do do 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 do" all the time.
Then he goes on to say, "In perfect senses, propensity for cheating, certainty of committing mistakes, and certainty of being illusioned disqualify one from putting forth rules and regulations."
Well, I don't even know what you just said. Can you repeat that?
So basically, the following four qualities that I'm going to mention basically ensure that you're not able to follow rules and regulations.
Okay.
Okay? In perfect senses.
Okay. All right.
Propensity for cheating.
Okay.
Right.
Certainty of committing mistakes.
Okay.
And certainty of being illusioned.
Got it. Check.
Yes.
These are not good checks. I was like, I have imperfect senses, propensity for cheating, committing mistakes, and I'm definitely illusioned all the time, every day.
Oh my god.
Check.
But it says like these are the visible signs in a conditioned soul. Like it makes sense. So then these already make it really hard for us. Therefore, either following the Vedas or following devotional service for Krishna is what helps us move forward. Because these are things we have. These are natural parts of being a conditioned living conditioned soul. There we go. Okay. Now then he goes into another conversation. He talks about how in India there are impersonalists and personalists. Mm. And that the interesting fact about this is that both lead their lives according to the principles of the Vedas.
Mm. Interesting.
Oh, wow. So even if you're an impersonalist, the Vedas are like the guiding book for what life, how to live life.
Right.
Right. So it's almost irrelevant of God. Or, well, not irrelevant of God because you have to believe in God, but irrelevant of how you perceive God, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really fascinating because we're not used to talking about impersonalists like that.
Right, right. Like they still live very noble lives in line with the Vedic scriptures.
Yeah. Then he makes another really powerful statement. Prabhupada says, aversion to the principles of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all fall downs.
Say that again slowly.
Yes.
I think we're trying to find the part of the pervert. Like, okay, one more time.
Yeah, I was trying to find where you're reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you said a bunch of big words and I was like, I don't know. I lost you real quick.
Okay, I can say it in different words.
No. You say it. Yeah.
In human society, aversion to the principles of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all fall downs.
You definitely have to say it in other words. Yeah.
Okay, that was really
aversion
funny.
Aversion is like to avoid something. Yeah. So it sounds like those people who are
avoiding the principles to understand Krishna is the cause of all the fall downs.
Mm.
So you go lower and lower until you get to hell if you're trying to avoid understanding Krishna through principles.
Mm-hmm.
The principles of understanding Krishna.
It's not even like you're trying, but you don't get it. It's like, I don't want to try. I'm avoiding
it. Yes, that's it. If you don't want to try. So that in life, if you are not even trying to understand God, that is not good. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. You mean, you're going down, 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 down until who knows
going
when.
Going down, 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 down. But not in a good way. Not in a good way. Okay.
Yeah. And so basically Prabhupada goes on to say that one has to raise oneself at least to the mode of goodness before the path to understand the Supreme Lord can be opened. So if you don't know, what were you going to say?
I think even like the mode of goodness is cultivating those qualities that Krishna mentioned, literally chapter 16, verse number 1.
Yeah. So, if you're feeling like, where do I even begin? Okay, let me just be truthful. Let me work on fearlessness. Right. Let me work on, like these just general qualities of showing up well in the world, right?
Yeah.
And then things will open up and I will be able to get in the path of learning about Krishna even more.
That's a good quality. Like if you're listening and you're overwhelmed by all of the stuff,
yeah.
Like literally just start with those good qualities and then that will eventually lead to devotional service and having the right consciousness to have a relationship with Krishna.
And because it's kind of like, I gave this example a long time ago. Like if you have a cup of dirty water and a cup of clean water and through chanting and just trying to like love Krishna and surrender, we're pouring all that like clean water into the dirty cup that eventually the dirty cup will become clean. So rather than just looking at the dirty cup and trying to pick with our hands out the bad stuff, that's too much. Mm. Just fill yourself with good, 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 and it'll work out.
Yeah, totally. And so, that's kind of the gist. It says basically, as long as you try to hone in the positive, that's what will help. Because if one remains in ignorance and passion, those are causes for demonic life, right? So the more we are in that mode of passion and ignorance, the more we lean towards the decline and more of that demonic tendencies, right? And so basically, it kind of restates that these demons disobey instructions from the spiritual master. They do not care for the regulative the principles and scriptures, and in spite, this is one of the, I was very surprised, but in spite of hearing the glories of the devotional service, they're not attracted. So like, this is a sign, like someone who's just like, nah, I'm not interested. You're telling me all these things about how doing service will make me a better person. I don't care.
Right.
You're telling me that, oh, the spiritual master knows better and he's giving me instructions. I don't care. You're telling me that, oh, the scriptures say like, I should be kind. I don't care.
Hard pass.
These are strong signs that you are in the demonic lifestyle going there. I mean, you're there. However, if one is able to be guided by a proper spiritual master, then one's life becomes very successful.
Mm.
So just, find good qualities, find someone who can lead you, a spiritual master who fits all the qualities that we've described before, right? Mm-hmm. Of a sannyas. They are proper. They are pure, truthful. They're pure and
non-violent.
Clean. Yeah. All of these qualities, someone who can lead you in this path in a very sincere way, then you have no reason to be concerned about going towards the demonic path.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Wow. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was chapter 16.
Oh my goodness.
Wow, we did it. So we have a special treat, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. It is the divine versus demonic rap. We've read this once, kind of. Ish, right before recording. So, you know, let's see what happens.
We read this?
No. We practiced one time, so it might be really bad. That's what I was trying to say.
Wish us luck.
We asked ChatGPT to create it for us, so here we go.
I do verse two, right?
Yeah, yes. Correct. Yeah, you got it. You got it,
Shamali. Okay, right. Ready? Yo, Krishna drops wisdom. I already started.
I can't do this. One more time.
It's like adults trying to be cool. Yo.
Okay, I got it. Yo, Krishna drops wisdom. Let's break it down. Divine or demonic, who wears the crown? Fearless, truthful, with a heart that's kind, or full of ego, lost and blind?
Divine ones rise. They shine so bright. Love and truth keep their souls in flight. Demonic minds, they chase that greed. Doubt and hate plant karmic seeds.
The good stay humble, self-controlled. Faith in Dharma, hearts pure as gold. But anger, pride, deception, lies. Trap the lost in endless ties.
Rules don't bind them, they chase desire. Greed and lust set their souls on fire. Krishna says you'll break that chain. Follow the truth, don't drown in pain.
So choose your path, make it right. Light or dark, step in the light.
Dharma calls, hear the sound.
Divine vibes always win the round.
Nailed it. That was great. So thank you so much for tuning in for chapter 16. We hope you join us for the next chapter. Chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith.
Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the matter of the divine and demonic natures.
Haribo!
See you next time.
Bye. Bye. 'Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.